Hey everyone, I'm Brian Conley of Hunters HD Gold, and you're listening to Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. This podcast takes a deep dive into what it takes to be a match director, manufacturer, sponsored shooter, or just an everyday shooter trying to win his or her first major. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. Welcome back to another episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. Today I'm sitting down with somebody I met probably 4.5 years ago when I first got started, and I was like, wow, this is going to be entertaining, and kind of I'm going to sit back a little bit and listen. But Tom Castro, how you doing, brother?
Good, man. Very good.
Man, thank you so much for joining me. We're here at the South Carolina Section Championship that you, for some reason, came from Florida and says, I'll do this, and here we are. So, right? Everything's going good so far?
It is, man. It's busy.
Not busy.
It's been a busy day.
We'll get into that busy a week. Bit. Let's get into that. So, like I said, starting off, I met you a while back.
Florida Open.
Was it the Florida Open?
Think
very
so.
Good. And I met you and you're like, man, these are great. You put them on. It's great. And you're very, for lack of better words, bear with me. I think we've had the conversation outside. Very aggressive when I met you to begin with. Very passionate. Very go, go and get it done. No shit. We're just going to make this happen. And whatever, whoever's feelings I hurt, I don't care. I'm here to dominate and destroy the world in PCC. Yep. And that was fine. But let's back up. Where did this competitive nature come from? When did you start shooting, or what did that look like for you getting started? How long ago was it you picked up a gun?
I was 21 years old. The first time I ever picked up a gun.
Okay.
And I said, I'm going to get a concealed carry gun. My parents didn't own guns. I never really shot guns. I just said, oh man, I'm a guy. I should have a gun. And started shooting a gun.
So you were in Florida?
Yep, in Florida. And okay. I was your average gun owner. I thought I was awesome, you know, shooting 1,000 rounds a year. And I was like, oh man, I'm a good shot. Not having any clue what I was doing. Didn't understand the sport of it or anything. So yeah, that was pretty much how I started shooting. It was just random, like go pick up a gun. Didn't have any crazy stories.
No friends had it or anything. You drove by a gun store and like, oh, I'm gonna be a man.
So I think it's one of those things where I just, you know, I like man stuff, I guess, or just, okay. I like competition, like things that take challenge, right? Like,
where'd that come from high school?
I just think that's just my personality.
Did you do a lot of sports in high school?
Not really like organized stuff, just, you know, regular old playing basketball in the street kind of thing and all that kind of stuff. So
you never did any kind of organized sports?
So the organized, I guess the only thing I really did competitively was, paintball. So
oh, there's a story.
Yeah. I played paintball in my 20s. I actually met my wife, and our very first date was, we went to play paintball. It was kind of weird. You know, she likes athletic things and sports and stuff. And we went and played paintball.
On the same team?
Well, that was probably why we stayed together, because it was good. So you want to talk about competitive. You should meet my wife.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay.
You cannot, like, if I take second, she's like, second?
Right.
And I'm like, I guess I'm not the only good shooter out there. You know, like, there's a lot of other good guys out there, but she said, so we went and played and we just loved it and kind of jumped in and we shot every weekend. And then we got competitive, started doing competitive sport, competitively traveled around the country in our early 20s, flat broke, you know how that goes in your 20s. Mm-hmm. And, we loved it. And that was kind of where my competitive fire came from. I think I just really was like, oh, I really like this, and it's kind of how it started.
Is the paintball circuit kind of like the shooting sports circuit? Is it kind of like everybody gets together, and or is it more, you know?
It's more secluded. It's very much like this sport, but it's more secluded when it comes to areas. Like there's only certain, like it really, honestly, now that I think about it, it's almost identical. Like if you really think about with paintball, you have the same thing. It's almost on weekends always. It's only in very secluded areas. It's not like you're going to, the only difference in paintball, you can find some in the city, right? So sometimes I'll have an indoor range or, which usually don't make it, by the way. but you'll find a range where you can literally shoot in your town. And you're like, oh, cool. It's 15, 20 minutes. Most places like what we're doing, we're an hour outside of any kind of real town or 30 minutes. So because of the noise with paintball, it's kind of quiet. You know, it's almost like a suppressed rifle or firearm at this point. So they're not that loud, but, yeah, but we traveled around everywhere. I mean, listen, I went to California, Chicago. I went to all these different places when I was in my 20s. And this is like being competitive. End up making it professional. Didn't last very long. You want to talk about a political sport. But it was political in the teams.
Okay, so you're a part of a team.
Yep, you're part of a team. So it started out in 10 man, and you had to have 10 people. That was tough. Then okay. It got down to 7. And then they went to 5 man, and then the 5 man actually took off and became X ball. So now X ball is basically the sport they have now that's really carried, and they actually have, they're paid now. A lot of these professional guys are paid. So it's changed a lot, because us, we were just getting gear, guns, free travel, stuff like that.
So paintball professionally is known as X ball.
Yes.
So I get it, because extreme sport, X yes. games, I get the yeah. name, but it's only 5 people on each team?
No. So there's usually 10 to 15. So what they do is they rotate. It's kind of like a hockey. They kind of base it off of hockey.
Okay.
So you would send 5 guys out. They would go shoot, like play against each other. Then they have a time. You have a button where you can hit, stop the time, mm-hmm. all these different things, right? Pull the flag, run the flag over. Then the next 5 come up. Or you same the same 5 guys out,
mm-hmm.
but they rotated. So you could do it with same 5, but you almost had, I think the pros now are probably 12 to 15 guys, because it's fast, right? You got to stay fresh. It's mm-hmm. just like, it really is. They base it a lot off hockey.
Right.
So it's a hell of a game to watch, but it's like shooting in our sport. If you don't know what's going on, it's hard to watch.
It's hard to score.
It's hard to watch.
But you know, there's all these videos you can see on Instagram and everything else, and there's always a sniper somewhere in the woods and
terrible. That is not like that.
And then, but it hurts when you get hit with those things. I hear. I've never been hit with a paintball.
So I'll tell you, it's amazing what adrenaline does. Like, you literally get shot in the neck and you don't feel it. Like, I guess it depends on the person you are. Like,
I think I would feel it.
Yeah. So like,
don't know. I don't get shot by anything.
I was probably one of the, I don't like cheaters. I don't like people have lack of integrity.
Okay.
And paintball, unfortunately, has a lot of that. So you would, hit somebody.
Yeah.
And they would spin and shoot you. Those guys got a lot of extra the next time you found them.
Oh, wow.
There was a lot of self.
And some of those things are automatic. So they.
So I could shoot 15 balls a second without any kind of computer. We didn't have a computer on our guns when we started. Like, so you had to use your fingers to mm-hmm. pull the trigger. And, you know, so I always laugh when people say double tap in this sport, because they don't know what double tap is. In paintball, you're literally taking your fingers.
I've seen them do that.
That's how you're doing it.
Yes.
So like, when they say double tap here, I'm like, dude, you guys don't know what double tap is. Right?
I don't think 2 fingers would fit in some of these guns.
No, hell no. And actually, I've seen some rifles that have made weird looking trigger things right. on there. And I'm like, double fingers. I'm like, you can't do that. Right. It's not the same. But
are they have force reset triggers on those though, to make it where?
Yeah. So it's all solenoid. It's basically the air, and it's electronic. So it's a solenoid. Mm-hmm. So they feel a lot like a PCC trigger.
Right.
Interesting how I kind of fell right into PCC and was able to shoot it. But you know, we do a lot of moving and shooting, but I carry a lot of I really like practicing. I don't want to say beat myself up, but I like going after the things that I'm not good at.
Okay.
And any sport that I was able to, like, I've always excelled at those, because any sport, you beat up your weaknesses and you eliminate them. It's mm-hmm. amazing how you get better. So paintball was the same thing. I used to sit out in my backyard and I had a prop, and I would like practice snapping outside and shoot a 1/2-inch piece of pipe with a paintball.
Okay.
So the paintball is 1/2-inch, and I had to snap out as fast as I could and hit it and practice. So it was just like on your accuracy, and they call it snapping. So you're just snapping out and shooting behind a bunker and then getting back mm-hmm. behind before you get shot.
So there's a whole nother, I guess, optics company for paintballs, right? Do they use some of the same optics?
Everything's visual in your eyes. Like, so basically the difference in shooting in our sport and shooting in that sport is you visually see the bullets or the paintballs flying, and that's okay. how you aim. So in other words, you start seeing this, we called it a rope of paint coming out, and then you go mm-hmm. 2 inches to the left, and then it would be right on top of the bunker, and the guy'd stick his head out right into it.
Wow.
So a lot of times you would shoot way outside, so they didn't know where it was coming from. And mm-hmm. you're like, all right, he's getting ready to come out. And then you would bring it back and he'd stick his face out right into the thing. There's so much strategy. I really enjoy strategy games right. like that.
Well, that's, you know, because I've had people ask me before if I've made stuff for paintball. And I said, well, everybody's got to wear the mask that's huge over the mask.
If the thing is they don't have like the individual glasses like you
right,
use.
Right, right.
But I wish they made something like yours, because I struggled. One of the reasons I've always loved your glasses mm-hmm. was because I'm super sensitive to dark lenses.
Right.
And the thing with yours is it was like, oh, they're just enough. Right. Like, right. and I was, you know, when I shot paintball, I had a fade lens. So I would do like, it was a little bit yellow at the top and mm-hmm. kind of fade down to the middle, and then it was clear.
Right.
I remember I had a dark lens and I'd stick my face out. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see the paintballs. Like I was just super sensitive to like, I wanted to always like just have like
see the clear contrast lens. Of the paintball.
Right. So that's when I got your glasses. That's 4.5 years, dude. I've been wearing your stuff. So, and that's why I was like, man, it just made a difference.
Yeah. Cause I've talked to people about, hey, can you make something go under that? And I said, yes, I can, but you're talking about polycarbonate is on those out shields.
Right.
You're not getting the benefit of the 43% more light coming to your eyes because that polycarbonate is blocking everything.
It, 100%.
So there was no reason to really get in that market. Yeah. I mean, I've made lenses for people to use in their in mask and ski mask inserts and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But you're still even some swimming, you know,
scuba. I was just going to bring up Christina Baker. Yeah. I saw a video of her the other day and I was like, you wearing those under your, and she's like, yeah, you can see the fish so good.
Yep.
Cause she's
they bring a lot of contrast and they actually still change. Cause that the stuff for the, scuba stuff is doesn't block UV on some of their stuff.
That's pretty cool.
It worked out.
I couldn't believe
when
I'm like, you're wearing Hunter's HD Gold in the freaking ocean. That's amazing. Like that dude is awesome. Yeah, everything.
We've done some crazy things. We've actually made some that are polarized as well to help, you know, buff that glare on top of the water. But, you know, when you do stuff like that, you know, and you're traveling all over, did you have a sponsor back then that was helping pay for that? Or was that pretty much how were you?
So
what was your meal ticket back
when it
then?
Came us, me and my wife, like I literally worked a job for vacation. Like I would work, I worked in the county at the time.
What do you mean county?
So I worked in with the parks department, Pinellas County.
Okay.
So I got into the parks department just to get a job. You know how it goes in the county. Like these government jobs are hard to get, right?
Yeah.
I'm not much of a work for someone else kind of guy anyway.
Like park and rec or park?
Yeah. Like parks and rec. Yeah. Okay. Like mowing the grass, cleaning bathrooms, all that kind of stuff. Right. So I get in there and I'm like, all right, I'm going to work to get out of here. Right. Obviously I've always been someone to just never stop. Just keep pushing. You get better.
Right.
So I'm trying to get out of this job and I'm like, this is a go nowhere job. So I finally worked my way out of that job and got into mosquito control. And I worked there for about a year. And then the economy, which I didn't know this, of course, no one really knows when it's going to crash. The economy was getting ready to crash. So I'm like, I'm going to start a construction business because I just hated that job. I just constantly was getting threatened with being fired because they were like, you're lucky to have a job. Not me personally, but just it was just one of those like, we're lucky to have a job. You know, you should be happy with no raises and all these, you know, it is, it gets to that. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go start my own business. I'm tired of this. Like, I'm tired of feeling like I don't have a job. Every time I come in the door, they're going to lay us all off and all this other stuff.
Were you with your girlfriend or wife at the time?
We were a girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
She was actually my fiance. I asked her to marry me after 6 months.
Okay.
So, and then we waited for 4 or 5 years for no other reason than just, we didn't care.
So she met you. Yep. You had a county job.
Nope. I got the county job because of her.
Oh, got the county job because of her.
So I'll tell you the story.
No, because I was curious where all this goes.
I'll tell you the story about my wife.
Okay.
So my wife changed my life because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had always had a job, always had some kind of work, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And when I met her, she didn't put up any of my shit. I'm like, ooh, this is probably what I need, right? Like, I need this kind of woman in my life.
I want to take that somewhere because when did the aggression, when you say don't put up with your shit, when did that, was this something that through high school where you were very aggressive when you were determined to do certain things with no?
For sure. Okay. Anything that had to do with sports, I've always been like, just get really good at it. Okay. I've always loved the athletic. I've always been one of those guys that's I'm all in.
Right? Okay.
All in.
Oh, like I can relate.
If I hunt, I'm going to become a bow hunter and I'm just going to practice and practice and practice and practice. Okay. I've always been that guy. Okay. Always. It's kind of a weird thing, but it's just
your competitive, just the way you're born. That's fine. Yeah. So she's not going to put up your crap anymore.
Yep. She's not going to put up in my crap. So, well, so I told her, I said, all right. I said, well, I like this woman. I'm going to get my shit together.
Okay.
So that's when I started looking for a serious job. So she basically told me, she goes, if you don't have a job, you don't have me. I'm like, all right, sounds good. I think I'm going to make sure I get a real job now. I'm going to stop bouncing around from job to job.
Right.
And from there, worked in the county for 6 years.
Okay.
Got my way out of the first position, got into the second position for about a year. And then I start my own construction company. Never worked for anybody ever. Never did construction before, but I liked working with my hands. I liked problem solving.
Did you find somebody to mentor with?
I read books, watched videos, and the real education was when I didn't know how to do something. I paid somebody, and instead of paying them to do the job, I stayed there and watched them do the job and learn from them.
Okay. You're not in construction industry anymore.
Not anymore.
Okay, let me ask this question. Based on that, I'm going to ask this question. Yep. How do you go get licensed and bonded at that situation? Were you just doing like round the small jobs?
Handyman jobs.
So just doing small jobs. Okay. Small so it wasn't a situation you're trying to bid for work or anything.
No. Okay. Small stuff at first.
Okay. So I'm going to, you know, hey, I got a hole in my sheetrock and I can figure this out kind of thing. Okay. Continue. Yep.
So then worked, did that for, I mean, 14 years, 15 years in the construction industry, created a pretty good sized business.
Sounds like it. Did you have employees?
Got rid of employees because you can't keep good employees.
Now, see, where you're coming, yes and no. What I have found out being a manager myself through retail management, you want to do everything yourself.
I'm not that guy.
Okay.
Not in construction.
I was. So
I'm not that guy. I really like teaching. Like, it's obviously Tom Cashmore Shooting Academy, but I really enjoy teaching. Like,
so that's where it started, the teaching
aspects
process
of life. Yes. Like, I'm good at, I feel like I'm good at staying above my life and looking down and like living in the moment, which I think a lot of people fail at. That's why I'm always happy, because I look at my life in such a positive way. Like, things go wrong in life and I could go, oh, this is terrible. This isn't working. And I'm going, damn, I got a wife, three kids. I have a house, cars.
Three kids. All right. You're not that old.
43.
You're 43.
43 years old.
Okay, well, let me back up. You look really good for 43.
Thank you.
So I had no idea. I thought you were in your, like, 30s. Nope. You did the, you know, all right, let's back up. Because I'm trying to put a timeline all together here. When you did paintball, that was working with the county.
Yep.
Okay, so that was working and get off on the weekends, because you get off on the weekends. That makes more sense to me now. Then when you went to start your own construction company, was paintball still there?
It was, and but it fell off real quickly because I was creating a business.
I was going to say, you can't.
No, it's very tough. Okay. But we still did it, and it's funny, we took a long break. Mm-hmm. We took about a 5 or 6 year break, and then we went back to it, and my body was falling apart because I wasn't working out. I mean, I just put all my work into the business. Mm-hmm. So I didn't take care of myself. I was eating like crap, fast food all the time, eating out all the time, you know, all that. Just excuses, basically. Yeah. Okay. I could have eaten better, but I didn't. And we went back and I just was like, I can't do this anymore. So, and the new generation of shooters came in and the attitude changed in our sport. A lot of, you know, I get a trophy for showing up. Kids came in and it just, I don't do well with those people. So, and especially kids.
So you became the foe to paintball.
No, I definitely
you
not.
Know where I'm going with
yeah,
that.
100%,
but they come in not. Wanting all these changes.
So no,
and you didn't want anything.
So I'm 100% about change. I mean, obviously,
okay.
If you haven't noticed, I'm all about change.
We're going to talk about that.
I really enjoy change in my life. Like, I enjoy change in life. I really do. And I think that's a big fault with a lot of people, is they don't look at change as a good thing. Most time, change is a positive, not a negative.
Okay.
If you are the one that created the change, right. But so in paintball changed where. People don't care. Like, you spend thousands of dollars to go do something and you have five other people depending on you to show up. Mm-hmm. And then you cancel. That leaves everybody else with the bag of cash that has to be paid for now.
Right.
That was a lot of that. I mean, the paintball is also a very young sport. Okay. Shooting's not a young sport. A lot of people here are in their mid 40s, 30s.
Love it.
You know, it's a much older group.
That's correct.
Paintball is 16, 15, 14-year-old kids that mommy and daddy pay for everything. Well, you start putting traveling on top of that. Mommy and daddy don't really want to pay for it.
Right.
So these kids will go and they're on McDonald's budgets when we're trying to go to steak restaurants in downtown Chicago because we're trying to live a great life and enjoy the trip.
Right.
So it's just, and again, there's no fault to them at all. It's just like, wow, well, now we can't go out because we can't leave this 14-year-old. We're chaperoning them basically at that point.
Right.
So it was just little things like that, and the attitudes changed. Like, kids were just, you know how it is, man. Just, they come in and they're the best ever and they can't listen. They don't want to hear it. It's just,
I don't know. It's just how it works. I get it. Yeah. So how old were you when you and your wife decided to have the first kid?
So we were 25, I think.
Okay.
Is it 25? I think we're 25.
Okay.
So
that, did that pretty much turn everything upside down?
Nope.
It did,
because it was
me.
Planned. We planned all our kids. We were pretty fortunate to not have any oopsies or anything like that. I mean, we were just, you know, but you know how it is, man. If you know you have the one that you want to marry the rest of your life,
yeah,
it makes it pretty easy to, you know, go, okay, well, if we have kids, we get married, we don't, it didn't really matter. My wife's really easy. She's so low maintenance,
right?
Like so low maintenance. It's unbelievable. I don't know how the hell she married. I married her.
One kid becomes as low maintenance. I can understand that. Two kids. I don't know. I've only had one, but two kids, you know, I can see more maintenance. Three kids sounds like you wanted chaos.
Three kids. We wanted a boy.
Golly. Okay. Fair enough. So no, you rolled the dice funny. A third time.
So, I mean, honestly, our first kid was awesome.
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't hurt, right, to have the second kid. Yeah. Our second kid was awesome. And then our third kid is just, I mean, I have three amazing kids.
Like, that's awesome.
And I'm definitely the guy who would say my kids are little shits. And I just have three great kids. Yeah. Like, I really do. They're all, I feel bad for them, though, because we're both, me and my wife are so competitive, and they're playing sports now. And the sad part is I'm the soft, gentle one.
She's taking that competitive edge and giving it to them.
And anybody who knows me as a coach knows I'm not usually the soft, gentle one. Right. I'm the guy who's like, what are you doing? Go fix this. Like, I'm a, there's doing, there's no trying, there's doing or not doing.
I know.
Right.
Yeah. So that sounds like some of your pushing actually comes from your wife then.
I would say it helps. Like, okay. I think she definitely keeps me driven. Like, okay. I always want to keep improving, right? I just feel like she's definitely the reason that I work out. Like me and my wife work out like together. So like every morning I wake up and we work out together.
Okay.
And it motivates me to not fail that. Like because if I don't go and work out because I'm being lazy, she goes, why didn't you work out? Mm-hmm. You're being lazy. You just calls me on my crap. Like again, calls me on my crap.
Yeah.
And it's good. It helps. I like it. It's not a bad thing.
Well, all right. Well, let's take a quick break. And I want to get into, you know, you took a break from paintball, but then we of course got into PCC. So let's take a quick break. We'll jump into that. Good. This week's podcast is brought to you by Kona Gold. Kona Gold is a premier lifestyle brand for those who work hard and play harder. There are many hemp companies out there that get lost in the crowd, but Kona Gold sets the gold standard with its premier line of products. When traveling all around with a Magical Mystery Tour to different matches, I travel around with lots of different flavors, including pink grapefruit, candy apple, and vanilla cherry. Make sure to stop by and get some for yourself. They are all zero calories, zero sugar, use organic hemp, and are THC and CBD free. Competitive shooters love them because there's no shakes, no headaches, and no crash. When you order from KonaGoldHemp.com, make sure to use discount code HUNTERSHD for another 20% off. All right. So we take a break from paintball, just like I said, and we're going to, you know, what part of Florida are you in?
I'm in Tampa, St. Pete area.
Tampa, St. Pete area. And how did you research, or who turned you on to the gun range? Because you didn't talk about it when you bought a pistol, which I understand. You may have bought that doing some traveling for protection and stuff like that. That would make sense to me. I didn't really ask that, but I'm assuming that's what it was at that point. But how did you find out about, you know, even shooting competitively?
So I was in one of my woodworking stores buying wood. And I was just working myself to death. At this point, I'm working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. Right. I have subs at the time doing most of the stuff like that, but I was a working contractor. I was in the jobs. I was putting up crown molding. I was doing bathroom framing. I was doing all the stuff to basically bring my subs in.
Okay.
So I'm working so many hours and I'm just like, man, my life sucks. Like, this is horrible. Like, I need something for me only, just me, no kids, no wife, just me. And, I didn't know what it was. Right. I did hunting for a while, but it just takes so much time. Right. And I love hunting. Like, I didn't even care if I shot anything. I just really enjoyed the woods. It was peaceful. I didn't have a phone call for work.
Very peaceful. You know,
I just got to go out and I loved archery. Interesting. One of the hardest things to do. Yeah. I always pick that, right? Not the easy rifle shot. So I'm sitting at the wood shop and the guy goes, comes in. He's like, hey man, have you ever heard of USPS? Cause we talked about guns a lot. And it's funny because I don't know shit about rifle. I don't know shit about calibers. I don't know about any of that stuff. Like, even still now, I'm like, oh, 9mm. I know that one. 40, 45. I know that one because that's what I shoot, right? I'm not a gun collector per se. I have some guns, but I shoot. I don't even put my guns in my safe. Like, my bag comes out of the house so much that I don't even put it away.
Right.
So I'm at this wood store and the guy goes, hey man, have you ever heard of USPSA? And I go, no, what is that? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you're perfect. You would love it because you like competition, da, da, da. So he's like, yeah, over here at the Wyoming Antelope Club. It's 15 minutes from here.
Yeah.
I said, oh, okay, cool. Well, I'll go check it out. So of course, Mr. Research over here, mm-hmm. I go crazy looking for videos and it's terrible. At 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago, was terrible for information.
Okay.
And the information that was out there was so confusing for a new shooter. It was like divisions, round count. You didn't know what you needed, right? Right. So you go in and I went to Wyoming Antelope Club and I was like, all right, I'm going to bring my gun and I'm going to go check it out. So I grabbed a cheap, crappy belt, crappy holsters, like everything was junk. And I go to the match and I'm like, all right, I'm here. Let's try it. Right now, obviously, I don't really know the rules. I kind of knew
you went on your own,
on my own,
not
by myself,
not a friend,
nobody.
Not a nut. And you went to Wyoming Antelope Club, yep. which has the most extreme safety rules,
range,
and
too.
Range.
Yes,
in that I've, you know, yep. which is good.
Yep.
They're a different range compared to a lot of other ranges out there I've been to, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just yep. they are very. How they do things is how they do things.
Yep. And I'm very happy that I started there.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot I learned how to be a match director / better RO, better shooter because I was there.
Okay. But it didn't start off like that because you went there not knowing anybody.
No.
Tell me what that was like the first time you went through that gate.
I didn't care.
Okay.
And the reason why is I'm not there for anybody else. I'm there for me.
Okay.
And my personality. Like you, I don't know you, but I'll know you in about 30 seconds
right.
as soon as I talk.
Right. Yeah.
So I go to the range and I'm like, all right, let's go. And I remember the first time I ever shot, actually he's here at the match right now. His yeah. name is JJ Malvarez. He was my first RO and he's okay. actually works for DaVinci or, you know, deals with yeah. DaVinci. So yeah. He's my first RO and I shot like a maniac. Like I didn't hit a damn thing, but I was fast as hell. Like all I saw was go fast, right? Everybody, right. I'm watching everybody. I'm like, oh, I'm going to shoot fast. I'm going to go fast. I don't even think I ever saw a sight ever. Now I hit some targets, right? Because I have really good pointing at stuff because of paintball. I could point a gun at anything right. and probably hit it.
But you're not able to see the stream of bullets.
Oh, no, no. So like there's no aim to the right or aim to the left. It's just where did it go, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that place is very dark, even with the lights on at night.
That's
and
right.
all those matches were at night. Mm-hmm. And so you couldn't see anyway. So I was like, oh, well, I'm good here. You know, I've got a chance to do something. So I go and I shoot the match. And I remember the guys like, oh man, you know, geez, like you're going so fast. And I'm like, all right, cool. Did I break any rules? And they're like, no. And I said, all right, well, okay, cool. Like one of the problems I will say about that place is that safety is overwhelmingly the thing. And it takes away from anyone growing past that, unless they're willing to just ignore it.
Right.
Right. At some point as a club, you have to, and this is something that's happened a lot at recently that I'm catching a hold of, is we're taking the responsibility away from shooters. Shooters need to be responsible for the safety, not the RO, not the range. The shooter does. Mm-hmm. If the shooter makes a mistake, they're gone. You just EQ them.
Right.
You talk to them, you fix it, make it better. But you
it's
can't
a learning process.
Yeah, learning process, but you can't babysit them. You can't, we're making rules right now that I'm seeing that we're making it almost impossible to build stages without $4,000 worth of extra gear to cover up holes that someone could turn around and shoot something. It's
right.
I mean, I learned a lot at this match.
Which we will definitely yes. get into that.
But so as I'm going through this match, I'm like, I love this. Like,
okay.
this is what I've needed.
Yeah.
This is it. And that was it, man. I jumped in. Both feet. I came every single match, Tuesdays mm-hmm. and Fridays, every Sunday match. I traveled every single weekend to a match. The very first match I shot was there, like level one/level two mm-hmm. trophy match, like production. And I'll never forget having the conversation with a guy. I took third unclassified and I'm thinking, I'm good. I took third overall in my first match, not having a clue that right. unclassified is the most disrespected division in the world. Like, I remember walking up to the guy who ran the match and go, dude, he goes, how'd you do? And I go, oh, man, I took third in unclassified. He's like, oh, good. Like, you suck. I didn't know. Right. I'm thinking, wow, that kind of dick, you know, like, I was like, so obviously, you know, that's, I will say that club has also made me, it's made me how I am in this sport about okay. new people. I okay. love new people.
Yeah.
There was not a warm welcome as a new shooter there.
Okay.
And I base my entire attitude in this sport around that treatment.
Right.
I will never allow someone to feel that way when they meet me.
Well, good. You're shooting, you said shooting production?
I was shooting production at the time, yep.
And you met the guy with Da Vinci.
Yep, David Padovan, yep.
How did, long before he says, you need to shoot this?
So I have a buddy, Ryan Rhodes, was a really, really close friend of mine. We were shooting, right? So he's what got me into the red dot. And it wasn't just PCC, because carry optics was almost non-existent at the time. Okay. I think it was just starting to break out of the 10 rounds at that time. So they were just starting to get the 24 rounds, which I didn't mind 10 rounds, even if I had it. Mm-hmm. But I was a production guy for life, Brian. I was never going to shoot anything but iron sights, because I wanted to master that, not knowing that the problem was the iron sights. I didn't know how to shoot, mm-hmm. right? The iron sights was really the problem in the sport. Not so much the shooting, but the sport. I didn't know how to shoot the sport.
Did you take a training class from anybody?
Nope.
Continue.
Biggest mistake I ever made, money-wise, right? Okay. So I spent all my time practicing production, but I learned how to break down stages because of production. So it was a good thing I took it. I'd learned it, right? So he's like, you need, as fast as you are, you need to shoot a PCC. I'm like, nah, man, I'm not shooting a rifle. I don't even own a rifle. He's like, nah, you need to try it. Seriously. So I tried his gun for one match, immediately bought a JP after, right? I started with a JP rifle.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, I don't have to reload. I can just shoot. I can learn how to play this game as fast as I am, the way I want to shoot. I can learn how to play this game now. Mm-hmm. And all I did was focus on PCC for the first 2 years of shooting. Let me rephrase that. The first year of me shooting, I focused 6 months was carry up or production. Mm-hmm. The next 6 months was nothing but PCC.
Okay.
I made Grandmaster in those 6 months.
Was that when the PCC first got started?
Nope. PCC had been there for, I think it was the second year. It was right when they actually had PCC classifiers that mm-hmm. were using PCC scores finally. That's why they weren't used on open.
That's why I asked that question, because I was just curious.
So I will tell you one thing that motivates me is shit talk. Uh-huh. And one thing that got me fired up was how many people thought I sucked because I only shot a rifle. Right. Want to know why I shoot carry optics and why I switched? Because I got tired of hearing it.
Right.
The very next match that I shot was Open Nationals mm-hmm. or Carry Optics Nationals. I made Grandmaster at that match.
Yes.
And I heard people that have known me for 2 years at that time said, oh, he actually is a good shooter. That pissed me off to no end.
I might have been one of those people that said, no, you can shoot carry optics. All I knew you was is a PCC shooter.
Nobody, it's the same thing, man. Yeah. It's just a different gun.
Yeah. Oh, no.
To me, at least it is.
I understand. Right? I just didn't know. When I met you, and I remember meeting you at, like I said, Florida Open, and you know, and everything else. I remember, you know, I go try these, do this, this, this. My whole thing. And, I had people that we're both close to today going, you sure you want Tom Castro, you know, with Hunter's HD Gold? I said, oh, hell yeah. He's aggressive and he don't care what he says. And he's just putting it out there. And this is, I don't mind that. This is freedom of speech, freedom of everything. I don't care. We're here. I was like, okay. Cause Tom's pretty, you know,
I've probably changed a lot since we started, bro.
And that's where I was going. that's where I was going because, you have changed a lot. I won't say you've calmed down, but you've toned down.
So I got out of a toxic range, bro.
Okay.
Like I was under attack a lot. My first 2 years at a range, I was under attack constantly trying to get me kicked out of the sport. It's pretty crazy. I almost quit the sport last year.
I don't ask why, but I mean, that's pretty aggressive verbiage to use. Do you think, you know, do you own any of that responsibility or is that all on them?
So when you're trying to change someone's personality, how do you change your personality?
Usually change who you're around.
That's it.
Okay.
How do you change a personality? If I'm loud, is that something that I'm just going to, like when people come up to you and go, hey man, you talk a lot and you're loud. I'm like, damn, you're the first one that's ever told me that after 43 years. Thank you for like making me aware of my personality. But here's the thing. All those things that people hate are actually what make me good, what make me personable.
Okay.
That aggressive attitude to walk up to a new shooter and go, hey man, how's it going? Oh, welcome to the match. How can I help you? Versus somebody who's like, well, I'm going to make sure that guy, I like him first before I help him.
Okay.
There's a lot of things about my personality that people don't like, but there's also the same things that other people like. You can't please everybody, Brian.
No.
And I'm good with it.
And you can't.
I think that's what's changed for me, Brian, is I truly don't care what anybody thinks about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started finding out that very quickly when I started realizing those people don't really matter to me. They are trying to change something of me that they can't control is what it became. It became a control issue.
Okay.
And since I have left, and it's funny, when I left that range and I went to another range, I run a match and I have no problems with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go out of state and I have zero problems. But as soon as I go to that specific area, I have problems.
Is it verbally or non-verbally now?
Well, now it's nothing because I don't deal with them at all.
Well, if they had, if they have a state match or something like that, is it more?
I won't go
to shoot. Okay.
So the sad part is I am one of the best shooters in Florida and I don't go to my own state match.
Right.
Because of the way I am treated, the way I'm talked about. How about that? I have had people come to me that have told me they are openly telling people not to come to my classes, not to come to my matches.
How do you rebuild that?
Meet people in person.
No. And I'm not talking about new people. I'm talking about how can you rebuild a relationship with people that
both sides have to be open to change.
Okay.
So we've just had a conversation here about 5 minutes about change. You see the change. Everybody else sees the change, mm-hmm. but they don't see the change.
Right.
But they don't want the change that you see. They want me to be what they want. That's the difference. That's what's changed in that area. I see a lot of new shooters come out of there that are their growth is stunted.
Mm-hmm.
They can't grow because they're so worried about the safety. They're so worried to go faster because they're worried that they're telling people to slow down. It's eventually you got to take the training wheels off shooters. You got to let them be shooters.
Right. Well, there's, there's an airport right there next door. So
that's
not
what it is.
Okay.
Trust me, they got a roof. They have sidewalls. Yeah. They've done a lot of great things at that range.
Yes.
It's just everything comes down to leadership.
Okay.
Everything comes down to leadership. It's how the leadership treats the customer, period. Listen, right. It's just the way it is there.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to change that.
No, I get it, but
I don't need to change it.
As a Second Amendment community,
mm-hmm.
we do a great job sometimes, everybody, of not building each other up and breaking things down.
We are the worst in the world, honestly. I agree. I just had this conversation with a fellow vendor sponsor yesterday mm-hmm. about the divisions in our sport.
Right.
We are the most hypocritical thing in the world is 2A shooters. I've never, especially in our sport right now,
mm-hmm.
this whole, we need to get rid of divisions. We need to get rid of this. We need to get rid of that. I'm like, we're doing exactly what the government keeps saying. You just because you don't like it means we don't want it.
Right.
Who cares if you don't like production or you don't, it doesn't matter. Right. It'll go away on its own. Single stack, revolver. They take care of themselves.
Yeah. I went to a cowboy action match earlier this year.
90% revolvers, right?
Well, not even that. Everybody's revolvers, yeah. But they had probably 20 different divisions.
Yeah.
Because it's based on, in SAS, it's based on how you dress. Based on where your holster's at.
Nice.
It's based on, there's so many different divisions. Then you got age groups. But there's so much, if you want to dress a certain way, like be Western.
That's cool.
Like movies.
Yeah.
You can have a lower holster rig. You can do all this stuff like be Westerns. But if you want to dress up as, Wrangler or whatever, there you got to have a knife. There's on the back of your belt.
That's really cool.
So, but all these divisions are there, and where I'm going to that is they just had the world championships, and there was 850 people in 6 days. It didn't make the sport stunned,
watered down.
It made it where everybody had a division, everybody had a reason to go.
Why take it away from people? I just don't get it.
I've heard both sides. I'm very much in, I hear a lot, of course, doing what I do and traveling so much, but I get what you're saying. The more people that, have a division to come out and shoot, the more people it brings in. And with that, we'll create return on investment for ranges when they start filling up and realize, hey, we can either, you know, we're filling up every match, so we can either have more matches to bring in more ROI or buy more property to build more base. Yep. I don't know. I see it both ways. You got to have the people there to grow. So let's pause.
Okay.
Let's take our final break, because I do want to get into what you're doing now personally with your business and what you're doing this weekend.
Awesome.
So give me one more break here. This week's podcast is also sponsored by Make Ready Nutrition. They have three products available for shooters that are 2-Alpha Performance to drink before hammer down, 2-Alpha Recovery that I use personally as a meal replacement for lunch with 34 grams of protein and is low carb, 2-Alpha Ammunition, which is next level hydration plus energy and amino acids for shooters, gym workouts, or pushing your body in sports and recreation. Whether you're in the Texas heat or in Arizona desert, 2-Alpha Ammunition works harder and endures longer. This unique formula is manufactured for shooters by shooters to replenish your body with electrolytes and hydration while helping aid in muscle recovery and providing fast energy. For 25% off your next order, go to makereadynutrition.com/discount/huntershd or enter huntershd at checkout for 25% off your entire order. makereadynutrition.com. Are you ready? All right. So you're doing all this stuff with PCC. You're doing, you know, incredible there. You went straight just dominating. You went to Carry Optics and you, like you said, you became a grandmaster and just dominated and gave, finished some high ranking positions I've watched with people been doing this sport a long time. And then you always had a group of people around you. They were always, you know, your entourage, we'll call it, you know, which is, you
Team
know,
Short Bus.
Exactly. That's right. Remember Team Short Bus? Yeah. Was a shooting team.
Yeah.
And you decided to put a whole training program together. What's the conversation look like between you and your wife when you decide this is where you're going?
So I didn't know I was going to go here.
Okay.
I was doing construction. I did construction last year, mm-hmm. and I went all the way through COVID doing construction. And honestly, what made the decision for me was COVID. I had prices quadrupled. Everything just customers became a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And my last job was just a nightmare. Like I out of 14 years, I think I've only had two jobs that I was like, and that what just happened to be the one. And it was great timing. I was just like, that just broke the camel's back. I'm out.
Wow.
Done. And it just was. And the reason I think it was so bad, it was, you know, two sides to a story. They were out of town. They went to Germany. He got transferred in the army. So I'm doing a job in America when he's in Germany. And you ain't getting that conversation. You know, you're not, you need something. You can't get a call back.
There's a time zone issue.
It's a time zone difference. But then I was doing shooting academy, and the shooting academy was taken off, and it was really hard to keep up with both. Mm-hmm. So just like shooting, you focus on one thing at a time. And if you separate that consciousness, mm-hmm. and you start doing two things at once, they're both suffer. So my construction company was suffering because the shooting academy was taken off. Mm-hmm. So at that point I was like, as soon as I finish this job, I'm done. I'm out. I got to figure it out. Either I got to commit to one or I got to commit to the other.
Mm-hmm. How big was the job with the guy in Germany?
It was big. Entire condo.
Okay.
But that being said, and like I said, two sides of the story, and this mm-hmm. is where that it kind of fell. I was only supposed to do the bathrooms, and then it turned into an entire condo. Well, guess what? My schedule doesn't work like that. I'm a very scheduled person. I have a lot of flexibility in life because I'm mm-hmm. flexible, but I don't leave. Like if I have a matches, I don't, mm-hmm. I can't go, hey guys, can you change the match? Cause I'm in the middle of a condo job. Like it doesn't work that way.
Right.
So it's like, if I have a scheduled out match, I'm like, hey, you have to know that I'm leaving out of town. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it was starting to mess up. I was getting last year I traveled so much between classes, matches. I mean, there was 3 or 4 months in a row that I wasn't home for more than 2 days. Mm-hmm. I was gone the entire time, either classes. I didn't have a single weekend of any of the months that I was home. Okay. It was crazy. And I just wore out. I just couldn't do it anymore. I physically and mentally just fell off. And I wasn't even really working out at the time either. That killed me. Like mm-hmm. I was out of shape. Right. So I kind of just said, that was it. I'm out. I'm done getting off of it. And then I started the business. I talked to the wife last year. Actually, it's funny because I said to her, I said, babe, can you cover the bills for a year? Like, I want to know, like, this is how bad I want to do this. Like, I love this. I love it. I love teaching. I love coaching. And she's just like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, well, let's sit down and like really think if we can do this. And so she reluctantly said yes, right? Mm-hmm. She hasn't had to. Like, it's just taken off. It's been awesome.
Nice.
It's been, I mean, it's been like the private lesson thing. I never thought. I've had people travel from Ohio mm-hmm. to come coach with me.
Right.
In Florida. I'm like, really? Like, I'm still like surprised by it. Still. I'm actually leaving to go to Ohio. It was a class. A guy called me up and said, hey man, I want you to come up for a private lesson in like a little small group class in 3 days. Mm-hmm. I leave on Thursday to go to Ohio for a weekend to go to class. I'm like, all right. Like, it's just, I'm still like, just super excited that people want me to train them.
Right.
It's just such a great feeling. I'm like, wow, they really like my coaching.
What do you take credit to specialize in when someone comes to you? Is there,
I'm a USPSA guy, man. I don't like, I was just talking to a couple guys outside. We was walking through a stage with them, like one of my stages. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I said, dude, I don't even change your shooting. And they're just laughing. Cause they're like, yeah, I know how to shoot. I'm like, I know. Like most people, like I kind of start my class off with, all right, guys, sight your gun in. I'm like, all right, now give me two fast ones. And I'm like, all right, cool. Everybody shot alphas. All right, cool. Are you guys ready? Like, let's go. Like, why am I teaching you how to hold your gun?
Right.
That's my kind of class. Right.
Okay.
Now I have that. Like I can do that. If someone's struggling or something in the class, I just fix their grip and like work on it. Mm-hmm. But I teach them how to shoot USPSA. That is my style of shooting. I teach them how to move, how to shoot, how to enter, how to exit, how to transition. I run stages a lot in my class. My class isn't a stand around and there's nothing wrong with those. It's just, mm-hmm. I have a different style.
That's why I asked that question because people are going to hear this and want to reach out. Yeah. And I didn't know what you do PCC, do you pistol?
Both together.
Okay.
And the reason why is because the only thing that changes for the way I coach is gun handling. That's it. It's just how you handle the gun. Everything else is exactly the same. That's why I was able to transfer from gun to gun to gun because mm-hmm. everything I did in PCC, I just need to learn how to hold the pistol. That was all it was. It's all I changed. Mm-hmm. And I take all the concepts that I learned in PCC and just take it over here now. So into the pistol. Yep.
That's so cool. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Cause I'm watching you're one of the vendors here at the South Carolina Section Championship. Yep. You've got hats, you've got shirts, you've got, I mean, all this merch, you've got your whole podcast studio set up over there. And I'm going, this guy has gone from zero to hero when it comes to being a part of the shooting sports.
And that was only the best.
You're in 100%. I love it. And you're out of Florida still.
Yep.
Your co-match director, match director, or whatever, of the vendor coordinator of the South Carolina Section Championship. Explain how you jumped over an entire state.
It's Todd Holmes' fault.
Okay. Okay.
So the match director of South Carolina Sectional for the last 2 years has been his full-time. He co-match directed with somebody else last year. Now it's his, but for the last 3 years, he's kind of co-match directed or last 2 years or whatever it was. And then he took it over for this one. He is a really close friend of mine. He's actually how I started doing classes here at Belton Gun Club in South Carolina.
Okay.
And we have become really good friends. We talk almost every day, usually about shooting, obviously, but he runs the club. He runs the match. So he gives me a lot of freedom to do things here that I would not get at any other match. Mm-hmm. So I coaxed him into giving me the biggest bay of the match. It took some work. Again, I'm breaking ground, right? This is the first time this has ever been done here. It's the first time that the vendor area has been made a priority since I've been in the sport for the last 4 years. Almost. Yep. October will be 5 years for me. So I'm like, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to make this great. Like I see it. I've always been very good at seeing things on the ground that was why I was good at construction. Cause I could see the bathroom finish before we even did it. You show me the material. I'm like, it's going to look like this. Mm-hmm. I could see it. So this is exactly the way it was laid out in my head.
Yep.
Identical. And
Yeah, because I remember the phone call I got from you. Yeah, and it was like, Brian, I need you to come to this match. I was like, okay, and I've got two other matches that usually I've attended. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah,
and you was like, hey, I'm putting these 20 vendors together. It's going to be a vendor match. We're going to do all this stuff and make vendors part of the entire process. I was like, okay, you got my attention because you're wanting to incorporate vendors. And I'm like going, well, I'm that kind of in that category.
Yep.
So, you know, you had me buying in from the beginning, but you didn't get everybody that you wanted because you had a lot of people saying they were going to do it. And then you find out life happens with managing 20 different companies.
Yep.
And you know, but you still had a great turnout. Don't get me wrong. I think there's nine or 10 of us here, which is, or 11 and 12 counting the ice cream and the homemade ice cream, as a matter of fact, and burgers and nachos and everything else over there. But what was your obstacles to overcome being a match director based on your personality and two, your vision?
So my personality is actually what's helped me get the vendors. Because if I get you on the phone, but if I get you on the phone, I don't see how you can't feel my passion for the sport.
Yes.
Right. I mean, we had that conversation. Yep. I could send you an email. It's not going to be what I say.
100%.
So I don't give a shit about that email. I care about talking to a person. I'm still a handshake guy. If I shake your hand and tell you it's going to be done, I'm going to do it. I'm still that old school guy.
Yep.
And that's the difference. Right. That's the difference to me is I'm telling you right now, this sport can change. We make the change.
Right.
No more of this. It's the way it is because it is the way it is. Bullshit. It's the way it is because we've accepted it.
Right.
We've allowed it to become this.
Yeah. A handshake is very important because this is something you don't know. I was in Texas last week. And as I was in Texas, I had something that broke on the van coming back.
Yeah.
And I'm making phone calls to a guy saying, I need this fixed in one day.
Yeah.
He goes, what do you mean? I said, I've got one of those sensors you plug in. It tells you what's wrong with it. He says, all right, this is what it is based on what it's telling me. He goes, you're going to tell me to order this part before you even get the van here for me to look at it. I said, I'm telling you, I have to have this van in South Carolina on Wednesday and I'm getting back on Monday. You've got Tuesday to get this done. So he calls him back, goes, Brian, the part's $2,400. I was like, good, order it. I'm there. It's going to be Tuesday. It's going to be put in. Because I made a word with you that I've got to be there on Wednesday, got to get everything going. So we make sacrifices when it happens.
So I've had some issues with that.
$2,900 later, I'm still here.
We've had some issues with people not showing up.
Yeah.
So it's so here's the thing. What changes the sport is the way we treat the vendors, in my opinion.
Okay.
When I sat down today and I had a safety briefing I had a conversation with the ROs.
Yep.
I was unfortunately able to shoot yesterday during the staff day. Mm-hmm. Well, Thursday is pre-match day, right? So the staff, so basically we go around and find all the problems.
Yep.
So that's the first time I've ever done that.
Okay. Are you an RO?
I am. I was. Yeah. Was I will. I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay.
I won't keep my certification through USPSA because they can use it against you.
Okay.
So, when I shot yesterday, I was appalled by how staff is treated. And I can imagine if the range master doesn't care like ours did, because he was awesome. I can't remember Gary's last name. He was amazing. McDonald. He was amazing.
I can't believe I remember people's name like that.
I can't believe he's. I've known Gary probably for 3 years now of all my shooting, and he's amazing. And I feel like we worked really well together yesterday and the day before because we did the Todd was very busy and not able to do the walkthrough, which he did do some of it, but he was doing Wi-Fi and that guy's amazing what he's done in this match. But we sat down and I'm thinking we got it all. Like there's no way. Like we've fine tooth combed this thing. And I put so much effort and the group of people that came on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we all walked this match like we're like, yeah, we're locked it all in. And every stage had some kind of little fix or repair or somebody could shoot through a barrel and hit a steel. And it's just like, and I'm like, we've got to do better. We can't treat staff like this. This is ridiculous. Staff cannot. This is why you lose staff because people are like, oh, well, it's not the same. Why not? Why can't we make it the same? Let's fix it. Let's make it better. Mm-hmm. So today when I was doing the meeting with everybody, mm-hmm. I told him, I said, hey guys, I hope your match doesn't go like mine does yesterday, because I think we found every single problem there possibly is for you to shoot. But why is it that they have to come here and go through all the crap that I went through? Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not upset about the crap. I'm glad we found it, because now we're going to have a great match.
Was that one reason you took the pre-match you did yourself?
No.
Just one squad running around.
I took the pre-match because of I'm working here, because I want Todd's staff, not my staff. Mm-hmm. I want Todd's staff. I want the staff to come to the Tom Castor Shooting Academy vendor area and enjoy the damn match.
Oh, no, that's what I meant.
Yes.
Is that the reason why you did 100%. It a day early?
100%.
So they didn't have to walk the stage. That's what I meant.
Yes.
You were doing that for
them. I want them to be able to be shooters here.
Yes.
I think it's a shame that they're competitors, but not looked at as competitors. Mm-hmm. Even though we say they're competitors, come on. If they're out there fixing problems, they're not competitors. They're staff.
So your takeaway, if you wanted to talk to somebody who was running nationals, for an example, USPSA nationals, instead of them having a staff match where they're the ones doing it, have the 8 to 10 people
100%
that come shoot nationals, have them shoot it one day before everybody else and go ahead and pick that stuff out.
100%. It was
I'm all about takeaways from the stuff like that. I did the same thing when Steger ran his match up in Wisconsin, and they did how they did the reset.
Yep.
I was there and I tried to tell a lot of people about that. And if you don't execute it, it don't take off.
100%.
And it hasn't taken off.
Yep.
But you know, the way Steger did it up there was incredible. How they had, you know, you all of a sudden you paced it after that. You heard me tell the story after three people and you're done.
Yep.
Go walk around and go see vendors, go see everybody else.
Yep.
But you taking it a step further, even with the staff, to shoot a pre match just with the people that came in from the USPSA or whatever their role is going to be, you know, that shoot, have them shoot a complete day before.
Yep.
And that when the staff comes in, they're not having to worry about the same responsibility as your message.
Todd Holmes all day. Mm-hmm. That was his idea.
Okay.
All day. And a couple of the guys that are my friends that shooting today, they're like, why didn't you shoot tomorrow? I said, do you guys realize I'm working here? Like, I'm not shooting here. Right. I'm just shooting because I want to be competitive and see where I'm at.
Right.
But I'm working. Like, I'm on the safety area over here, like working on my stage.
And let's talk about that, because you do have the Tom Castro, you know, vendor area, which is cool, because you have a stage set up in here. We also have the function bay that's in here. But you actually have people that come in and they're actually doing walkthroughs with you on the stage you created to give them a taste of what your training's like.
Yep.
It's incredible.
It's I love coaching, man. It's not about the money.
Right.
The money is a necessity for me to survive.
Right.
But it's not about the money. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, there was a guy over there that I probably had a 30-minute conversation about just entry. It was awesome. I was like, cool, this is it. This is what I wanted. Like, I do this anyway.
And I heard you do some marketing talking to the staff. I won't repeat what that is. Yeah. It's none of their business. But you actually had a marketing plan for them as well, which was cool. So I won't release that. Yeah. But what you did, I was like going, I see what he did there. Yeah. That's pretty good marketing. Yeah. So I love what you're doing. You've got Targets USA here from Alaska.
Yeah.
You know, you pulled in some of his crazy movers.
Yeah.
Is he here to be cussed out for his movers, or is that going back to Todd or yourself?
So I'm glad you brought him up or brought up his target. So it's the Holy Monkey, in case any of you guys don't know. So look it up. It's from Targets USA.
Yeah,
so
YouTube that one. It's all over the place.
So there's
usually people cussing.
Yeah, the funniest thing about that target, it's really not that hard. It's really not. The problem is guys will shoot a bunch. They treat it like a swinger. Mm-hmm. You have to be ready for it immediately. Mm-hmm. And then we have all these people that come to USPSA because they want more of a challenging shooting match. Mm-hmm. Then you give them one of the most challenging targets and then they whine and bitch and complain about it. I'm like, why are you doing this again? it's like they don't look at it as a positive thing. And when you look at it as a negative thing, of course it's a terrible target.
And that target shows the same presentation every time.
In my opinion, I have never seen it change.
Okay.
And the reason why is because as long as you reset it the same every single time,
okay,
which the way we have it set up with a piece of plywood and the same weight, and it goes to the very end, it falls the same. It's the same weight sequence, right? As long as the stand, again, it's all about setup. As long as nothing's moving.
Right.
But you know what's funny about a swinger? And this is the thing people don't seem to understand. You can do the same thing with a swinger and move the stick inside or out farther, and it changes the presentation. Mm-hmm. Nobody complains about that. Why? Because that's just, we've only seen it a million times.
Right.
You just haven't seen a holy monkey. If they made the holy monkey the new swinger in our sport, no one would complain anymore.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, it's cool. Just shoot it here.
Right.
It's just something to complain about, you know?
Well, some shooters are very, you know,
whiny.
Well, no, they're very concerned with where they finish based on repping their sponsors and everybody else. And nobody wants to have a reason, excuse, whatever you want to call it, to not dominate.
Your results are already given to you when what you do before you got here.
Yeah.
Everyone acts like the match is where the results come from. They come from your practice. They come from your training. They come from your knowledge.
Okay.
And then you execute that on the match. You don't come here and get better.
Right.
You come here and shoot what you are as a shooter. That's why most people struggle at major matches, because they think they're going to shoot better than they did at practice or shoot. They don't. You shoot exactly what you are as a shooter. Most people, if you look at their scores, they usually finish right where their percentages are.
And you've made vendor area, where it's kind of a break area, where where it's part of the match.
You got to be here, man.
They have to go through, and you've got special prizes that you're giving away that they have to get punch cards done at every tent, which for the past hour, somebody's probably out there screaming because I'm not punching their damn card.
But that's okay.
They'll catch them up. We got two days to do it.
You got it.
But no, it's getting more interaction.
Yep.
Going, because you made a comment to me, there's going to be every single shooter at this match is going to have to come by your,
if you want a gun,
if you want to win the cool stuff.
We got multiple guns that were given away at the match. And if you come to the vendor area, you get your card punched. It gives you an opportunity to get into a better raffle. If you don't, that's fine. Your choice. You don't have to.
And registration is in the middle a vendor area.
Got it.
So you don't have a choice but to register for the match. When you get here, you have to come through the entire process to see all the vendors. So it's like multiple attacks.
So this is how sales work. I'm not a salesman, never have been. I just think about what it's like to be a person. You know, what is it like to be as a company? Mm-hmm. The more eyes, the more sales, period. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not about sales. It's just about relationships.
That's it.
Right. If you have relationships with people, almost no one buys the first time they see you. Mm-hmm. Almost no one. Guess what happens when they see you the second time? They're like, oh, Brian keeps coming to the matches. He's supporting the match.
Right.
Then they go, let me actually go over there and maybe try his product. Cause that's just, you know, that's snake oil. I could just buy yellow glasses off Amazon.
Right.
And then they come over and they talk to you, and then you give them the old, hey, these aren't your stupid Amazon plastic glasses. Check these out. And they put them on for the first time. And then they go, oh, I want these. Then you go, oh, absolutely. Here you go. Sign up. And guess what? You don't pay until you get the glass. And they're like, this is weird. I don't understand. Like, you actually are treating me like a real customer. This is really odd.
All right.
Guess what? That took three turns. So if I spread you out up on a hill and you're nowhere near the shooting area, how many people are going to walk by you when their only focus is to shoot?
Yeah. You become a destination location at 100%. That point, and not just a mall shopper.
100%.
I've managed locations that are freestanding and managed locations in malls. And it's two different type of ways to talk to a customer.
100%. And I want them to come see you because you have an amazing product.
I appreciate
that. You do support our sport.
But it's doing so much for the other people that are here as well that don't get to go to other matches. So I'm really proud of what you've done. You've got a whole area here with, you know, 5, 6, 7 tents out for shade for people to eat in, everything else.
Next to where? The vendor area.
Yeah, right next to the vendor. Everything this is home base.
Yes.
100%. And I'm excited about that. And thank you. What is next for Tom Castro?
Lots of classes, man. So my goal this year is to, it's been hard. Like, my shooting has kind of gone backwards a little bit. Not my actual like shooting, but my focus has not been on me anymore.
Okay.
So that's been the hard part, is trying to balance that. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's been like, recently I've been like, man, I haven't really thought about my shooting in quite a bit, but lots of classes. Like, I have a lot of classes scheduled. I just finished one in California that did really, really well. It's been really good, man. The classes have been selling out. I got some new classes coming up. I'm going to be doing a class here in June. So I'm excited about that. So
when are you going to get your kids shooting?
I need more money.
Are they showing any interest?
My son would shoot with me all day long. Okay. He's daddy's boy. Like, that boy, he's awesome.
You start off a steel challenge yet?
I'm not a fan, dude. Okay. I like steel challenge when I retire. That's my plan. I can't, my legs don't work. So I'll tell you why. I really love stage planning.
Okay.
Like, love if I never shot again, but I could just teach people how to shoot like rock stages. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I do that for a living. I mm-hmm. love the strategy of walking stages, the most, find the most efficient plan, you know, how to shoot a target, how to enter, how to exit, like when to do those things. Mm-hmm. I love that part of the game.
Okay.
So that's one of the reasons I really dislike IPSC, because you get the whole 4 minute thing and you don't really get to get that. You don't get to do that part of the game as much.
Right.
And I think that takes away, because it's those little micro things, especially as a grandmaster at a high mm-hmm. level, like people are like, oh, stage playing doesn't matter as long as you execute it. Not at my level. Mm-hmm. Like every little thing matters. Mm-hmm. Every little thing matters. So it's like, I love that part of the game. It's just, I don't know. I just enjoy that.
There's, you know, a lot of current people in leadership now that are trying to bring more stuff from IPSC to USPSA.
I love a lot of IPSC things. I really do. I think IPSC has a lot of great things.
Yeah, but not being able to walk stages in a 4 minute walkthrough though, kind of changes the whole
that
game.
That sucks. In my opinion, so the World Speed Shoot that you just went to for World Pistol Shootout.
Yes.
That was a big turnoff for me. Mm-hmm. It was one of the reasons I didn't want to go to the match. Mm-hmm. It didn't, schedule wise, didn't work out anyway. Mm-hmm. But that was a big turnoff for me. I mm-hmm. did not like that. I'm not a fan.
Right.
And honestly, after hearing like a lot of people had mics and missed targets, mm-hmm. that's because of that.
Well, that's day two, and they added a lot of mics. added a lot of no-shoot targets. Right. But they changed the game on the second day.
But you have people skipping things, right? But that has a lot to do with, because you're giving somebody four. And, mm-hmm. and I think the real problem with the four-minute walkthrough isn't so much that it's, because I kind of enjoy the challenge of 4 minutes, is that when mm-hmm. you have 15 people or 10 people trying to walk the stage, it's very difficult to get a real 4 minutes, because there's always that guy who stands in the middle, who has no idea what he's doing, that's blocking all the walk path. Mm-hmm. And you're like, just patiently waiting.
I think that's going to come with etiquette and come with knowledge, because a lot of people don't know. Some people might get out there at 4 minutes going, they're just freaking out. So they're just standing there not knowing, you know, this is not good. 4 minutes. But hey, I don't know. I think with change and everything comes.
Oh, I love change. So. I see it, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to change it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to show, I just got tired of hearing people talk about, we can't do this, we can't do that. It's not important. It's just the way it is, because that's the way it is. Let's fix that. Let's make it better. We can do this. Okay. It's not that hard.
I like it.
It just takes effort.
how can people find you on social media, Tom, and all the stuff you're doing for the sports podcast, everything you got going on? How can people find you?
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook. I post majority of my stuff on there, because I just do kind of quick hit things like that. It's all Tom Casher Shooting Academy on there. My website is tcsacoaching.com. YouTube is Tom Castro Shooting Academy. I don't know how I got that, by the way, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. but almost everything's through that. All my classes are now on Practice Score. So you just go in Tom Castro Shooting Academy. I don't even think you have to put class in. And all my stuff is in there.
Nice.
So everything's on there. I post something every single day. I give a lot of free tips away. So go on, check it out.
Well, I can personally say I am proud of you and how you come to grow through the shooting sports.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
Because I've watched a lot, like I said, from the very beginning. And like I said, when my phone rang going, what the hell is he doing with Hunter's HG Gold? I said, I like him.
Yeah. I'm a probably easier person to sponsor now.
Yeah, but it became part of your business as well. And that helped some.
Yeah.
But you haven't lost the fire. And I hope.
I don't think I will.
And that's good. That's what I wanted to hear. Because you're going to run into roadblocks. You're going to run into people that you don't agree with. You're going to run into rules that you can't do certain things. And to find ways to overcome those objections is what's going to make you even stronger in the future, make the sport even stronger in the future, how to do it. So I'm excited about that for you. I don't see you quitting on trying to build relationships and try to make things. You seem like the guy, you're going to keep pushing until, you know, you don't have a reason to push, but I think you got every reason in the world to continue pushing.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see where you go.
I hope so, man. I would love to get a phone call from somebody up top and go, hey man, how can we keep growing this together? And you know, we got to start reaching out and stop trying to do everything ourselves. We'll work together.
Hopefully, you know, 7 or 8 people listen to this podcast and we'll have somebody make that phone call to
I'll be one of the persons to listen to it, see what an ass I sounded like.
It sounds like 9 then. Good. I'm up to 9. I love it. Anything else we get off here?
Nah, man. I just want to thank Todd Holmes personally for the opportunity to put the vendor area up. I stole his biggest bay this year. I'm trying to talk him into giving me 2. I'm just kidding. I can't do that. I'll take the stage away. But I mean, he's made a lot of sacrifices for me to kind of try to grow this. this, and I'm excited. And if you guys are anywhere near South Carolina this weekend, come out. It's open to the public. You guys come out, check it out, get some free coaching, check out our vendors. They have free ammo, Masterpiece Arms, Da Vinci. You get to shoot their guns and check it all out.
That's it.
Excited.
Man, thank you so much again, Tom.
Appreciate you, brother.
Man, if you have any questions for Tom, he's giving you all his social media outlets to get in touch with him. Or you can reach out to me directly at info@huntershdgold.com, and I'll make sure to get with Tom myself and get all the messages to him and get your answers back to you. But thank you for watching or listening to this episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. And until next time, we'll see you at the range soon. Thanks again, Tom.
For a complete written transcript of the Dr. Bill Show, go online to www.icarusmusic.com.
And welcome back to the Dr. Bill Show. Let's go to a caller who seems to be having issues communicating with his girlfriend. Caller?
Yeah, I'd had this problem with my girlfriend. She kind of broke up with me. I've been doing everything right. Everything's been going great. We went out. We've gone out for, I don't know, I'd say a good 5-6 months. Everything's good. I mean...
But son, you've got to use communication.
I've done that. I mean, what else can I do? I mean, seriously, I mean, like, I...
Son. Some girls are just bitches.